The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
See Live Off the Record with Chicago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Central Bank of the Bahamas, the Cleveland Clinic, Dunkin' Donuts, Grand Bahama News, Janae's Uniform Center, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Insurance.
I was asked to introduce Christopher and give a little bit of a timeline on his life. And it's hard to keep my composure talking about Christopher's story. But he was born in May of 2001. Thank you. You can tell, you can do it better than I can. I have to go back a few years, yeah. And he... His mother was on drugs, Oxycontin and cocaine. And he was a nephew of ours. And we went down to Florida and took him out of the foster care system in August of 2002. And he's been a blessing to our family. And he loves to share his gifts. And this March, he was kind of discovered by the union leader and all the local media outlets in Boston. And he's been singing a lot of patriotic songs, but to back up a few years, when in 2004, Christopher was on his first mission trip with 8 Days of Hope. And at 4 years old, he went down to the front of the music ministry and they handed him a microphone and he sang the song he's gonna sing tonight, Open the Eyes of My Heart.
I want to see you. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. Today is the International Day for Persons with Disability. That's why I played that piece just now. A man is autistic and blind. Autistic and blind. And has a beautiful voice. And as I watched that YouTube video of him singing that praise song, to listen to it is beautiful enough. To watch him do it is just incredible. Not because he was trying to entertain anybody, but just that in his natural movement about it, it just makes you wonder. It fills your heart, almost breaks your heart, not with sorrow, but with humility for the fact that because you have a disability, does not mean you have no abilities, right? Our world has about 8+ billion people. 8+ billion people. Of that 8+ billion people, about 16% of the population has some disability or the other. That's about 1.8 billion people on the planet. That's a huge and significant number of people. And they are in many ways striving and thriving and climbing and doing what they can in the midst of the challenges that they have as they do so. And anyone who has ever been close to anybody with a disability knows that they face challenges, but many, many, many with great confidence and with great effort and pride seek to do what they have to do as capably as they can to make it in this world. Most who have no mental challenges only accept help because they have to have it, but would rather be without it. They want to live independent lives. So this UN-inspired day of trying to acknowledge and be aware of this reality in our world where things don't always happen as they ought in the physical, mental abilities of our world. People come to be and have disabilities. Those disabilities include autism as the young man that I just talked about and just played. There's hearing impairment for some. There are learning disabilities for some. There is ADHD, attention deficit disorder, that some people are faced with. There are intellectual disabilities that some people are confronted with. Some people have multiple disabilities. There's vision impairment. There's communication disability that some people have. Some people have mobility disabilities. Some people have physical disabilities. Some people have sensory disabilities. Some people have acquired brain injuries that create a disability for them. Some people have mental disorders. Some people have epilepsy. And some people have neurological disorders. Some people have paralysis. Some people have traumatic brain injury. Some people have developmental delays. Some people have psychological disabilities, other health impairments that can create challenges for people, inclusive of the extent to which a cancer can bring about a disability for people, or diabetes can bring about a disability or some other health impairment. So there are many, many things that can befall a human person to bring them into the realm of disability. People have memory challenges, right? And if you listen to the World Health Organization, basically you have disabilities that fall into three dimensions. One is impairment, where a person's body structure or function or mental functioning is impaired. You have then activity limitation, hearing, walking, or problem solving. And then you have participation restrictions, where in normal daily activities, such as working or engaging in social or recreational activities, people have problems being able to cope. And these disabilities can be hereditary or genetically originated, or they can have environmental causes. And so we have a lot of people, 1.8 plus billion people who are today having to deal with disabilities. And while we many times you are sympathetic or empathetic, or you try to empathize with such folks, the truth is that so many of us who are, in quote, abled, are not without, or who are without disability, we can't rarely the extent to which they are challenged that way. But the people who have to deal with them, family members, the friends, the nurses, the doctors, the therapists, and the educators, and all these kinds of people, they have a great idea because they are close to it. Closest I have been to disability was my father, who suffered a stroke when he was about 39 years old. I was about 8 or 9 at the time. He suffered a stroke, and of course, you know, he had a massive stroke, right? They call it a massive thrombosis to the brain. And that left him partially paralyzed for the rest of his life. His speech was impaired. His left side of his body, his hand never recovered, maybe 90% functionality. And his left side, his walk, severe limp, as you know, people with stroke victims come to be. And so his battling that reality in the early days, I saw that trouble and challenge for him. And It was something. It was something. So, you know, you see it up close in that way, and you know what it means for people as they try to feed themselves, as they try to clothe themselves, as they try to maintain their hygiene and that kind of thing. And it becomes a struggle and a challenge. And over time, the determined, you know, adapt as best they can. So we honor people with disabilities today and the people who actually care for them and are close to them. We're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen, and when we come back, we will continue our conversations. We'll be back after this break.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic, your destination for care. For every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? CHA Specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Democracy is under attack. The Davis administration has failed us. The people have lost all trust in their leadership. Now is the time to stand up. Now is the time to take action. We must protect the Bahamas' reputation and the integrity of our law-abiding officers. Join us on December 4th at 9 a.m. at the House of Assembly Roslyn Square. Together, we will demand accountability. Together, we fight for what's right. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join me here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Really glad you could join us today. If you want to give us a call, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I saw a news story where the director of labor was speaking about the unemployment rate, about the fact that the unemployment rate dropped from 9.6% last year to 8.8% this year. And the director of labor said that 8.8% is very, very low unemployment. This is what he said, that the 8.8% is very, very low unemployment. Now, I am not sure how much the director of labor knows or understands about unemployment rates, but there is hardly a context in which 8.8% is even low unemployment. Okay, it is. I'm saying forget very low. Forget very, very. 8.8% unemployment isn't even low unemployment. That is, in fact, regarded in almost every context, high unemployment. That could be very, very low if your unemployment rate came from 15 to 20% or something like that. But honestly, sir, with the greatest respect to you, a country would not be proud to have an unemployment rate at 8.8% or designate 8.8% as very low unemployment. They wouldn't even regard it as low unemployment. That the unemployment rate goes down from one higher number to a lower number is oftentimes something you are happy about. But oftentimes, but it matters why it went down. And I dealt with this before, that you can have a reduction in unemployment when you have an increase in discouraged workers. And that is what happened between last year and this year. So unfortunately, it cannot be a story that your department's activities, though it may have been some, but that ain't the main story, the expansion of the economy and all those kinds of things, because there's too much of it that can be explained by the increase in discouraged workers. So for the benefit, you know, on this show, I try to help you understand things. Do not ever, if you are listening to me today, ever think that 8% is low unemployment. 7% is not low unemployment. 6% is bordering on low unemployment, bordering, but not low unemployment. It's, you know, it's bordering on it. 4% low unemployment. Now you're talking low unemployment. Now, the last time the Bahamas had unemployment below 7% was in the year 2000. It was in Grand Bahama, it was around 6.9% or something like that. But that's a lot. That was the lowest unemployment had been in the Bahamas since we were taking and keeping these labor statistics from independence. Since that time, we haven't come close to that unemployment rate, even though 8.8% like would be creeping in that direction, right? But there is no context in which 8.8% is low, very, very low unemployment, no context whatsoever. Okay, there is no economist or no person with an understanding of the economy who would believe that unemployment at 8.8% is low, very low, or very, very low. That is thousands of Bahamians who are unemployed. Thousands and thousands of Bahamians who are unemployed. And that only captures the national unemployment rate. That does not capture the youth unemployment rate, which is more like 20-something percent. Okay, so you have to analyze the totality of the numbers to get a fuller picture. And the big story arising from the unemployment rate decline year on year was an increase in discouraged workers. What does that mean? If you are not looking for a job, within the last 3 months of the day when the employment, the unemployment survey, the labor survey was done, if you're not looking for a job, you don't get counted in the number of unemployed persons, even if you're not working. You are counted in the discouraged workers category. And so that can artificially drop the unemployment rate. Just as you can have, when the economy starts to pick up and people decide, wow, things are picked up, so I'm going to go out there and look for a job. If the labor people do the survey at that time, now you have less discouraged workers because more people have looked, entered the active job search market, so that when they are surveyed, they are asked, did you try to look for work in the last 3 months? And are you working? And if the answer is, yes, I tried, or no, I'm not, and the number of unemployed. And so therefore, now the unemployment rate gets artificially increased. Not because something dramatically happened, but merely because a positive something increased the number of job searches and therefore increased the number of people would be regarded as unemployed. So to be clear, 8.8% is not, has not been, and will not be a low, very low, or very, very low unemployment rate. Okay, when we're looking at unemployment rates, that's a different creature than counting from 1 to 100. Much different creature. That's like when the economy grows, if you are growing at 3% or 4%, that is really good growth. Really good growth. But it isn't a big number. 4 isn't a big number. But in terms of economic growth, 3%, 4% is big growth. Well, in terms of unemployment rates, 8.8% is a high unemployment rate. Okay, to be sure, Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
The King is at it again with the new Pepperoni Bacon King. This big and meaty sandwich has pepperoni, bacon, and more pepperoni piled on that 100% flame-grilled beef patty you love. The only way to make the Pepperoni Bacon King tastier was to add chipotle mayo, barbecue sauce, cheese, lettuce, and tomato, and serve it on a soft potato bun. So when you want a better burger, check out the Pepperoni Bacon King or try the new crispy chicken Pepperoni Bacon King, but get yours now because they're only here for a limited time and only at Burger King Nassau.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I ain't marched the car. The lady who run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on the video. My damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Democracy is under attack. The Davis administration has failed us. The people have lost all trust in their leadership. Now is the time to stand up. Now is the time to take action. We must protect the Bahamas' reputation and the integrity of our law-abiding officers. Join us on December 4th at 9 a.m. at the House of Assembly, Roslyn Square. Together, we will demand accountability. Together, we fight for what's right.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together.
you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chicago Line, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. Can I take this opportunity to wish Latina Lightborn, who is the CEO of Cleft of the Rock Foundation. You've heard them on the show several times with the golf tournament. She's celebrating a birthday today, so happy birthday to her. Tomorrow, my sister celebrates her birthday, so getting them in. But happy birthday to her and all of you celebrating your birthdays in this month, this Christmas month. So enjoy. Tomorrow, the Free National Movement is going to hold a demonstration in Rawson Square. The Free National Movement believes that democracy is under attack and that it is necessary to hold the government to account. And so they are having a demonstration tomorrow, 9 o'clock in Rawson Square in front of the House of Assembly. Interestingly enough, I think that the commissioner's national address has probably exacerbated some of the, not probably, my own observation of the reactions and responses to his address was that it has created more anxieties than it reduced. That's my observation. And now names that were called during his address, those people are starting to speak up. And I have to say, I hinted at this when I was speaking about it yesterday, that to the former prime minister, speak to the former minister and the former commissioners, and alluding to the fact that some of this stems under their administration, I hinted at the fact that it seemed odd to me because, you know, when we were crying about the state of crime in the country, no effort was being made to reach out to those people. And that I didn't say this, but I felt this. I felt like that reference to them was an effort to say, this ain't just me and us and now, right? And the way it came across may have offended some people, but not may have, because the former commissioner of police, there's a couple of them, so I don't get the names mixed up. I want to make sure and correctly account for who said what. Former Commissioner Rule, Paul Rule, he was taken aback by the context in which his name was mentioned in the commissioner's address, to suggest that which he thought was just more conversation, was casted by the commissioner as interrogative of a sort. And that he was taken aback by that. If you read a story by Travis Cartwright Carroll in The Guardian today, it indicates that the former commissioner of police, Paul Rawls said last night that when he heard the allegations, he was hurt and disappointed, but he also alluded to the commissioner's comments and said that he was taken aback by it. Right? And he did something, you know, he said, I don't support corruption in any form. This is what the former commissioner, Paul Rawls, said. I don't support corruption in any form. And I said to myself, like, see, when you make a speech and you've given a speech, there are some things that you can do that can be helpful. Former Commissioner Paul Rawls said, I can say categorically, I have never been involved in any kind of corruption. Can you imagine? Here's a former commissioner of police saying this. I thought to myself, and listen, I'm only saying, I'm not saying this. That's what you want to say. That's what you want to say. You want to be able to say that. In other words, I'm coming, listen, this mess, yeah, I'm going to clean this up because I don't have nothing to do with none of these kind of things. You want to say that. You want to be able to be categorical with that, right? But he wasn't having any of it. He said, listen, I was disappointed when I heard his comments. He's talking about the commissioner's comments because it does not adequately and accurately address the conversation which we had, and it gives the impression as though he spoke to me in a different form as a suspect. Could you imagine that? A former commissioner saying the present commissioner, in giving a national address, spoke in a way that gave the impression that he might have been a suspect when he was interrogated while having a conversation with him. The former prime minister, Dr. Hubert Minnis, says, I don't have any info for the commissioner of police. Saying he would speak to the former prime minister too was odd. Right? You know who should speak to a former prime minister about matter of national policy? A prime minister. Your colleagues. You say, listen, bro, you see what's going on up in here. You know, did you have any conversations with these folks? Did they allude to you? Did they indicate to you anything? Blah, 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 blah. That's policy discussion. But between colleagues. You know what it is for a commissioner of police to call up a prime minister to say what? Mr. Prime Minister, you see what's going on. Did you have anything to do with or have any information? No, that's prime minister talk. Let me tell you something. However I may disagree with any prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, past or present, every single one of them, because of the office they hold or held, would get from me nothing but regard and respect. It's not about. I remember one time ago, a minister asked me, a religious minister said he was inviting a prime minister to something, but he was concerned because of the nature of the discussions, et cetera, that he was having, whether the person should be invited. I said, absolutely. I said, because you are not inviting him in his person, you're inviting him in his office. And as long as the office ain't do nothing, people could do things in an office, but the office ain't do nothing. He's the representative of the office. And to the extent he still holds that constitutional authority to do things, tells you that its office remains intact. So a former prime minister deserves a certain deference and should be treated with that deference in every circumstance. And that isn't about them. That's about us and how we understand the nature of honor. We are to give honor to whom honor is due. And the honor is due the office or the office being held, even if it's not the person holding the office. I have issues with any number of world leaders. And if I meet them, if I have occasion to meet them, they will get the honor that's due them. If for some of them, if I could avoid meeting them, I would avoid meeting them at every cost. Right? So as not to offend the office because of the nature of the office. Marvin Dames wasn't having none of it. Marvin Dames said, listen, man, we are ignoring these allegations. And to our peril, we do so. He's not having any of it. This text says, I am in agreement with the gut feeling of this country. It was a political presentation to change the narrative, but it only made things worse. The PLP must avoid short-sighted narratives that are far-reaching and detrimental to our national sustainability plan. Some critical decisions must be made. You remember yesterday I said to you, there's a difference between crisis management and problem solving. Sometimes in crisis management, we're only trying to get the heat off of us. Problem solving is trying to stop the thing that's bringing the heat to begin with. This text of Chivago, I agree with your sentiments 100%. Let me tell you something. I said it yesterday. This is a serious hour for the Bahamas, very serious hour. And we could kick off and play the politics we want. We could do that. All sides, kick off and play all the politics you want. They got some politicians right now playing some very dangerous games. Some dangerous games, and some of them FNM, PLP, some of them DNA, some of them COI. Well, I know less DNA. Some of y'all in some of these areas, I know y'all, and I know what you're doing, and I know who you're paying to do it. All I'm saying to y'all is my eyes and the eyes of the Bahamian public will be open this time around wider than ever before. Keep your nonsense up. Keep your nonsense up. Keep it up. Keep it up and watch and see. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316 from the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, do you think the commissioner of police sought advice before his address? I can't imagine that the commissioner of police gives a national address that does not involve some scrutiny on the part of the political directorate. I can't imagine that is so. It is possible, but I could hardly see that. I could hardly see the commissioner of police getting on ZNS, the government's radio station, to give a national address. The prime minister does not know. The minister of national security doesn't know. So the extent of the advice and guidance, I could hardly see them having the commissioner go on to give an address and they don't take some. The commissioner, I can tell people, the commissioner of police is a member of the government of the Bahamas. not the cabinet, but a part of the branch of the government that executes government policy. And so if you are having a commissioner make an address, you want to make sure whatever he's saying accords with national security policy of the country, right? No, your independence is to a certain degree in terms of enforcing the law, but you are guided by policy, and that policy belongs to the cabinet of the Bahamas. So I don't know how much advice, but I can't imagine he did it without some consultation. This text says, I was just thinking that the commissioner of police was really trying his best to drag everyone into the matter during his address. If that is indicative of what will happen, if any official's name is called, we'll be in for a heck of a ride. I don't always agree with Dr. Minnis. However, I love his response that that address probably did more harm than good. I'll be waiting with bated breath to see what comes out of the House of Assembly tomorrow. Our present position requires decisive, bold leadership. Yeah. Yeah. So we may have to see. The opposition, of course, and carrying out the demonstration tomorrow, one then would ask, okay, what's the point? Why? Why? What is a demonstration supposed to tomorrow? Like, what is it supposed to do? Well, a lot of that depends on the level of support for the demonstration. A lot of it depends on that. Let me tell you all something. I've said this to y'all before, and I say it again. Popularity is the currency of politics. A politician is driving on Bay Street past Rawson Square, sees one person with a placard demonstrating against something the government is doing. One person. Politician drives straight past, walks straight in the house. Don't pay them no attention, really. They see them, but they ain't paying them no attention like that. Next day, they see five people holding placards, demonstrating. They go, Still ain't paying that much attention. So, boom, gone. Next day, they see 100 people. 100 people with placards demonstrating. Now, you're driving slow. Walking slow. You're going to hail a couple, hoping they spot one or two friendlies in the audience and hail them and say, hey, and then walk, go about their business. But in their head, they're thinking, but I've been growing a little bit, you know. Then they see 1,000 people next time out there holding placards, shouting. Oh, now all of a sudden, he ain't driving slow. He got to stop. He got to stop. Get out there, maybe have a conversation or two. Try to see if, figure out, blah, 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 blah. Because the number's growing now. Next time, 10,000 people out there. Oh, Lord, that politician, what do you do now? He said, I was always with y'all. He hold up that placard, he said. That's a crazy illustration to make a point. The point being, popularity is the currency of government, and numbers matter to popularity. So if you believe that doesn't take you seriously enough, or not taking you seriously enough, or not acting with decisiveness, then these demonstrations are supposed to apply pressure to the government to take note of your concern and anxiety in that regard. And that will only work to the extent that there is any kind of impressive showing, right? That's the reality of politics. That's how it goes. The opposition actually takes a risk when it does these demonstrations, Because if it goes out there and holds a demonstration and there's not many people out there, then what people say is, well, you don't have that much support. And that's how it gets castigated. And so, well, the government might look bad, you might look bad too. So there's always that risk you run. Okay, of course, they could stay out there and say, well, we did it on principle and really the numbers don't matter. But again, let's be real. In politics, visual optics matter to how people are impressed about what you do and the narrative that gets taken from what you do. But as an opposition, you have a duty to make the effort. You make the effort, right? If others don't want to follow you and others choose not to be a part, then, you know, there's nothing you could do. Whatever the optics are and whatever comes about, you make the effort. I remember when we were privatizing BTC. Shane Gibson got all kinds of numbers of Rawson Square. They could not be ignored, the numbers. I mean, we still privatized BTC because we believed it to be the right thing to do. Still believe that to this day. Get mad at me if you want. It really don't make no difference to me. But you know, you had to take note. And that's why he got meetings with the prime minister, got concessions from the prime minister, because lots of people expressed their points of view. And I have no doubt that it changed. It changed some of the trajectory and operations of things. Additionally, when the road project was being done and people were crying and screaming, lots and lots and lots of people, it created a need for better information, better education, and all that kind of stuff. Didn't stop the project because we believed it to be the right thing to do. Still believe it to be the right thing to do. And people seem to be confirming it was the right thing to do. So, you know, you have to stay your course if you think you're doing the right thing, but where people are expressing anxieties in large numbers, that does mean, that does require and oftentimes compels the government to take note. Compels. And in this circumstance, there is in every quarter I've been in, every quarter I have had discussions in, every quarter, can I say to the government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, every quarter I have had discussions in, I mean, doesn't matter which quarter, a significant view that decisive action must be taken. But the prime minister said this. The prime minister said that accountability must be had and decisive action must be taken. Well, now we will see. We will see. Let me tell you something. Sometimes, listen to me. What did Jesus do wrong? What did Jesus do wrong? Those of us who believe in the Bible and believe in the Judeo-Christian heritage, what did Jesus do wrong? Nothing. He was innocent. But he died, and he willfully died, because he said his sacrifice was necessary to save the world. That's what he said. That his sacrifice was necessary to bring life to some. I agree 100% with former Commissioner Paul Rule. Of course the RBC will get over this and get past this. But it ain't gonna happen automatically. Do it. Action, decisions, on time may do it. It can happen. You can't get past it. But some things have to be done. And maybe some people should say, you know what? Listen to me. This happened. Let me move out of the way. Let me move out of the way. Or be moved out of the way. So that the process of renewal can begin. That's the question. That's the issue. It's beginning a process of renewal. Right? And again, it doesn't mean that you are culpable. Doesn't mean that you did anything. It just means that you understand the bigger picture and you understand that sometimes for new trees to come forward, you got to plant some seed in the ground and them dead seeds and germinate into new blood. And that's, we will not escape, I don't think, all these beautiful, wonderful, professional men and women on the Royal Bahamas Police Force need, require our confidence, our cooperation, our trust. They need and will need a new start. They will need that. And in understanding that they need that is why some might decide, listen, I'm gone. And some could be, I mean, you know, we could think, oh, it's only the commissioner, maybe the commissioner, maybe a deputy, maybe deputies, it may be a superintendent, maybe whoever. Renewal is renewal. Again, it doesn't, you know, I mean, you cannot help how people view you in the end. I mean, be honest with you, you can't help it. So if you're about the business of simply being concerned about how people see you for the rest of your life, that could be very challenging to making good decisions. Because people are fickle, right? They like you today. They don't like you tomorrow. They like you this morning. They don't like you at noon. They don't like you. They like you at noon. Don't like you in the evening. People affect. You cannot base good judgment on how people feel about you. And even sometimes when you don't do nothing, people just lie on you. Lie on you. And in politics, that's famous. I used to read and still listen, read things and go, boy, wow, that was me. Okay. And sometimes my friends ask me, but why are you laughing? I said, well, what else am I supposed to do? Cry? Because this human being adopted that narrative. Yeah, this hurts you sometimes. You get angry sometimes. But what I learned from you about Alexander Ingram a long time ago. You gotta do what you gotta do. This text says, so are you saying that some high-ranking members of the police have to make some tough decisions? Of course I'm saying that. I'm saying some political people have to make some tough decisions. I am saying that. I am saying that, and I'm saying that in the purest way, leadership looks at a scenario and says, am I what is now required for my organization to move ahead? That is the question always. Always that is the question. You know, we are so weird in this way, right? You, let's say you have some serious illness, a heart issue, an internist, a doctor, medically trained, quite capable, would have to ask himself, am I the person to deal with this heart issue? And the answer is no. I need a heart surgeon. Right? You have gastrointestinal issues. The heart surgeon, as capable and expert as he or she is, they have to ask, am I the person to deal with this? The answer is no. I'm going to the gastroenterologist. And the gastroenterologist discovers somebody has some kind of ear, nose, or throat issue. And has to ask himself or herself, am I the person to deal with this? And the answer is no. I need an ENT. It's not personal. It's about solving the problem. Period. That's it. And you always know what you care about in crisis. You always know what you really care about in crisis. Because in crisis, you decide, you determine, is it about me? Or is it about this? And that's the reality. Is it about me or is it about this? Sometimes you are not the one. You are just not the one. I remember, I told you all this, I think, before. I remember when I was a young minister, maybe 2 years, 3 years, and people started coming to me, boy, like, you should run for leadership. Because, you know what I mean, you could be Prime Minister of the Bahamas. And I told all of them, y'all, stop talking stupidness. I cannot be Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. People say, oh, you should never talk with yourself like that. Yeah, I will talk like myself like that because I am not a stupid man. I am not stupid. I would never take a position that I believe I'm not capable of doing yet. Never do it. I have no such ego in my life. You think I'm going to run around calling myself Prime Minister and incompetent to do a job? Go and try to do Dwayne Sands' job. Where? Then? No. Absolute nonsense. Now might be a different story, but then? No, absolutely not. Would not. You make that same statement to me today, and I'm not afraid. You'll get mad at me if I say, oh, yes, I think I could do that job today. I do think I could do that job today, but then absolutely not. And sometimes even when you are capable of doing a job, you just don't have the confidence of the people. You don't have the regard of the team in order to do the job. And that too matters. That too matters. And you might have to say, you know what, hey, it is what it is, man. I love my life and I love my people and I love my organization more than I love being here right now because I am not the one. I am not the one. But it's a decision people have to make. If they make that assessment, if they determine that. But I know how it is now. I know politics, in politics and small communities like ours, listen, making tough decisions is very hard, bro. Listen to me. Very difficult. People too close to people too, you know, then rub this one and rub that one. And people too, you know, this could follow, could be that. And oh boy, this and then and that. And so we get wrapped up in all kinds of periphery things as opposed to the central issue required to move a thing forward. So I know that. Don't anybody can fool me. I know that. Huh? A prime minister, a minister making a decision but doing something, you guys go, okay, well, how this one gonna react to that and how they gonna react when that one reacted to that and all that kind of stuff becomes a part of the factoring and the figuring. And so even if doing this could solve the problem, by the times I didn't get thinking about all these other things, can't make that decision no more. Yes, I'm telling it how it is. I'm telling the story I know. I am doing just that. I was there when Hubert Alexander Ingram made determinations about customs officers and police officers and sending some into retirement and moving some, et cetera. You know, it's not a decision somebody going in there grinning trying to make. But if you're trying to solve a problem, if you're trying to advance an organization, if you're trying to make progress, then you have critique and getting mad with you and cussing you and carrying on. That's how it goes. That's why leadership is not for the faint of heart. It's not. It's not for popularity addicts. It's not. It's not for people who's mindset is solely on the politics of the moment. It's not for short-termists. It's for grown men and women with maturity who understand sometimes the decision I have to make affects me. Me. And requires me to not be what I am now. When I do leadership training, I always say that when there is a vacancy to fill a leadership post, the first question we tend to ask is who should lead? That's what we ask. Child, who should lead? We need a PS, who should lead? We need a director, who should lead? We need a minister, who should lead? We need a COP, who should lead? We need a prime minister, who should lead? And I always say, that's not the right first question. The right first question is always, what are the circumstances? That's the right first question. Like, what is happening with this organization? What is happening with this ministry? What is happening with this department? What is happening with this institution? What is happening with this business? Because once you know those circumstances, you ask yourself the next best question. What kind of skills are best required in these circumstances? What kind of skills? Do you need effective communication? Do you need effective problem solving? Do you need effective systems analysis? Do you need effective HR coordination? What do you need in the circumstances in which you find yourself in terms of skills? Do you need a combination of those things? Once you then know what are the circumstances, what are the skills required, you then ask, this is the question, who has those skills? That's how you do it. And then you say, okay, well, see, when you ask who has those skills, because you've identified them, now you only have to be honest about who has the skills. And it doesn't matter if it's a woman or a man, a white man or a black man. It doesn't matter if it's a rich man or a poor man. It doesn't matter if it's a Family Island man or not, or New Providence man. It doesn't matter. Sometimes if it's FNM or PLP or DNA or COI, you know that to fix this problem requires these skills, and these human beings have them, get them to be the one. That's how I think it should be done. But you know, I live in the real world. And in the real world, we have to ask the question, now, is they one of us? Or at the very least, are they not against us? So you ask that phrase. And would they cooperate with us as we go and move along? And then you go and you ask some other things. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Alain, your host. We'll be back after this break. Take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Wait, it's over. That safe, guaranteed investment opportunity that you've been waiting for has finally arrived. My name is Bond, the Bahamas Government Savings Bond. And as of Thursday, November the 21st, all Bahamians for as little as $100 can begin to save for their future. The investment rates are fixed and guaranteed with terms from 1 to 6 years. So you can't lose. Mark it down. Thursday, November the 21st. Get your Bahamas Government Savings Bonds for more details.
Your pumpkin favorites are back at Dunkin'. Indulge your pumpkin passion with fresh baked pumpkin spice donuts, mouth-watering muffins, and delightful munchkins. Or sip a Dunkin' Pumpkin Spice Signature Latte made with a rich blend of espresso, pumpkin spice, and vanilla flavors, all topped with whipped cream, caramel drizzle, and cinnamon sugar. Available hot or iced, Dunkin' offers the ultimate pumpkin coffee experience. Head to Dunkin' today. The Bahamas runs on Dunkin'.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather. Cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can text us at 422-4796. That's 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. The leader of the opposition has called for a commission of inquiry. I mean, he called for one prior to now, because he called for one involving investigations around the head of the CID, and renewed his call for one. The former Prime Minister, Dr. Hubert Minnis, has called for a commission of inquiry. Do we need a commission of inquiry? Do we need one? What say ye? I talked about commissions of inquiry before. I talked about the fact that they are about answering a compelling question. They are about answering a question to which the public requires an answer. Right? Like, you don't want to leave any uncertainty here. You don't want any speculation here. You don't just want to trust somebody's word here. You do a commission of inquiry that represents an independent inquiry into something, because there is a burning question for which there is a serious public value that need a commission of inquiry to answer that question. So if do we need a commission of inquiry? And if we need one, what's the question? What's the question that you need to have answered? You want to have definitively answered for yourself. I heard the Minister of National Security say that the commission of inquiry wouldn't necessarily solve the problem, because you can't hold people accountable for the things that they say before the commission of inquiry, etc. Well, I differ with that to this extent. It is the people who you give immunity to be witnesses in a commission of inquiry are people who are able to help you discover where things are being done to breach the law. If their evidence leads to evidence about people who did not come before the commission of inquiry and who aren't or may be culpable in doing some things, then you could go after them as a consequence of what is revealed in the commission of inquiry. You don't have, if you think somebody is a significant culprit, you don't bring them to the commission of inquiry to get answers. You're trying to find people who can help you discover that. And then that's the first thing. Secondly, if something has a huge public value in terms of being able to satisfy the society that I now understand what is at stake, I understand what has happened, I understand what went wrong, that is a huge value to the society. It's like saying, well, that research might not have any application that I can see, but we should do the research. Well, how you know? You don't know. Many pieces of research are done for purely academic reasons, to answer a question, to figure out things, and then the application comes later on. There are economic theories that have had applications in medicine that the founders of the theory had no idea it would have any implication for medicine. So we don't know. But if the question is compelling enough, that's the public value. If the society feels that the question is compelling enough to have an answer to, that's the public value interest. And so you go seek that out. Do we need a commission of inquiry? That's not what I'm answering. I'm just asking. Now, here is one way I fall on that question. You see that indictment and that prosecution? That might be as close to a commission of inquiry you need to get. See, when you go to court, you don't know what's going to be said and what's going to be revealed. You only know what's in that indictment. You don't know what witnesses are going to say. You don't know what defense attorneys and prosecutors are going to get witnesses to be able to say. So in order to get a conviction, the prosecution has to go and find evidence. They don't have the same political interests you have in the Bahamas. Them prosecutors, no, they don't have. They're not going to be concerned and care about whether or not homeboy here, homegirl there, their name get called, this one get pointed out, this name get showed up, we have evidence against that. We're not concerned about that. About it is I brought a matter before the court and I am charging these people with this crime and I need to evidence before the court that they are guilty of this crime. And so whatever evidence I need to bring to bear on that, whoever name I need to call, whoever's issues I need to bring before the courts, that's what's going to happen. So you got a commission of inquiry, you know, of a sort in that prosecution. So maybe that saves you the resources of a commission of inquiry, but maybe that's not enough. Maybe you do, in fact, need to have that domestic process play out here. Maybe that's what you need. This text says, I think it's needed. As the citizens say, they think it's needed. Right? What do you say? You need one? You want one? And if you need one and want one, what's the question? Text who told me you think we need one. What's the question? What is the question that a commissioner would be trying to answer? It says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang, as usual. Great show. Commission of Inquiry. Yes, for public knowledge. But can we afford the extra cost at this time of an inquiry? I say let's wait for the USA court finding. First of all, I mean, I hear you, but can you afford a commission of prayer? Of course you can. Come on. Bahamas, you spend $3 billion a year. $3 billion a year? Yes, it costs you what? Three? It costs you four, five, $10 million even? Not even that much. Of course you can afford it. Mm. So don't let it be a matter of cost. You can afford a commission of inquiry. How much money we spending on all kinds of things? We could divert money from some things to spend money on a commission of inquiry if you wanted it, if you needed it, if you determined to have it. So it's not an issue. It's not a money issue. Not even close. Not even close. I've been in the Ministry of Finance. Y'all hear me? Y'all have cash flow issues for sure. But being able to reassign money from here, there, and everything. The other day, the government of the Bahamas assigned almost $2 billion from this thing for travel. Come on, man. Seriously? Small change. For the Commission of Inquiry, small change for government of finance. If it believes it needs to do such a thing. But that ain't the most important thing to me. If you have a commission of inquiry, what's the question? What is the question to be asked that you want answered? What do you all want to answer? What do you all want to know? What do you want to know? Right now, given the indictment, given the situation in the country, what is it that you want to know to inquire? And if you can't answer that question for me, you can't tell me you need no commission of inquiry. Because you need to know what you need to know what the question is. That's like going into research and having a research question. No scholar would do that. They'd be shooting blindly. Then it would get even more expensive. When you are not clear on what you want to ask, then you end up all over the place. Okay? So you have to know what it is that you want to ask. But y'all wouldn't know. The Prime Minister has spoken. He's doing some things to try to get some answers. The Commissioner of Police has spoken. He's trying to do some things to get some answers. The Minister has spoken. They are trying to do some things to get some answers. But you need to know. What would be the question? You want me to pose one? Is there a culture in the Royal Bahamas Police and Defense Forces, not the Commonwealth of the Bahamas? That's one question. Is there systemic corruption in the Royal Bahamas Police Force and Defense Forces? Those are questions. That's what you want to find out? That's what you all want to know? Is Texas not sure about a full commission, however, a public hearing of some sort, so I'm wondering how effective would it be for the opposition to utilize the PAC? Well, the PAC is about public accounting, and of course, in the accounting process, you can ask many queries, but the PAC would not be best for that. PAC would not serve you well for that, no. It says, thanks for the information. Cost was my only concern. Question would be, who and what were the benefits? Who and what were the benefits of what? What do you mean? It says, good day, Mr. Lang. President Biden is an example of a leader when he stepped to step away from running for president for the good of the country. Yeah, that's an example I think one could point to for sure. That pardoning of his son, though, I think that has done great damage. You know, he loves his son. I know he gave a rationale, but boy, I think he released a Kraken on that one. Watch and see now. Watch and see. Watch and see. You're listening to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after this break, this final break.
Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to
located
life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a bill that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
The car?
I ain't mosh the car. The lady run into me mosh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star shop, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Well, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean, cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how did it work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the call go directly, it's nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us for these remaining moments of the show. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can text us on 424-7796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I don't live under any delusions. Like many countries, like many places, especially smaller places, smaller countries, we are very partisan about our politics. And so we have our preferences, all right? We do, and we feel strongly, and that partisanship influences how we come at our issues. And I'm not talking about the politicians. I'm talking about me and you, members of the public now. Okay, I read some of the way we come across with our texts, right? If you're PLP, you come across sometimes a certain way. If you're FNM, it comes across a certain kind of way. There are people who can put that aside for the moment and be able to take up the issue as it is. But generally speaking, we are partisan. We are very partisan. We are, you know, and even those of us who say we're independent, but independence only means you don't like the two people. That don't mean you're partisan. You're just partisan for yourself, right? And that can shape to how you support and so forth. And so the challenge now is to come at the prime minister, come at the minister, come at the leader of the opposition, come at the former people, come at the mission of police in ways that reflect more our partisanship than reflects our attempt and effort to have a clear-eyed appreciation of what's going on and the deep desire, authentic interest in having the problem solved, whatever the problem is. And this is not just for you and me. This is for the commissioner. This is for the prime minister. This is for the minister and all everybody else, you know. Right, you it's natural, it's a natural thing to start protecting yours, but start protecting your interest. And it is not until we come to some honest purity within that we can really make good decisions, where we are able to say, yes, I'm partisan. Yes, I'm more FNM than I am PLP. Yes, I'm more PLP than I am FNM. Yes, I'm PLP or FNM. Yes, I'm more interested in protecting and preserving me than anything else. Be honest about that. Be honest about that. But then say, be aware enough to know I cannot be guided by this narrow interest, especially when it comes to public policy. In public policy, there is a primary interest and there are secondary and tertiary interests. And in the pursuit of your responsibilities in office, whatever you do on your own private life, that's a different story. But in the pursuit of your public office, your primary interest must take precedent over any secondary or tertiary interest you have. Because it is in that way where a conflict of interest manifests itself in problem for you in decision making. When your primary interest is clear, making a decision on the matter is only difficult to the extent of which option do I pick, not in respect of whether I choose me over my primary interest. But that's hard. That's a hard way to go. And I ain't fool about it. I'm not a fool about it. We all face it. We all face it every day. Every day, we all face it. Sometimes we don't survive it. People who are trying to do what is right many times survive it. We all face these dilemmas where our primary and secondary and tertiary interests come in conflict with each other. This question says, would the commission determine why the Bahamian officials were not made aware of what was taking place in this country? It takes an indictment in the U.S. to reveal what was taking place. They could, in the mid-course of their inquiry, to the extent that they get cooperation from the Americans about that, because only the Americans can answer that question. So if you have a commission that gets an American authority to answer that question, then yes, you could find the answer out. This text says, good day. Here are some questions that we want answered. Okay. Question says, what systems are in place to detect corruption within the police force? Very good question. Two, how often are internal audits or integrity tests conducted on the police force, police officers? Very good question. Three, are there mechanisms to encourage officers to report corruption within the force without fear of retaliation? How many cases of alleged police corruption have been investigated in the past 5 years? Excellent question. Five, what percentage of corruption investigations result in disciplinary action or criminal prosecution? Excellent question. And six, are investigations into police corruption handled by an independent body to avoid conflict of interest? Excellent question, man. They need to hire you. How? Excellent questions. Excellent questions. Even if we don't have a commission of inquiry, every journalist in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas should get hold of those questions and see if they can't find the answers to them. I certainly, if I could get a chance to speak to the right kinds of people, maybe we find out. Very good questions. Thank you very much for that. Wow. You're a journalist, eh? Maybe a police officer, or you're a scholar. Very good questions. Anxieties are real in this hour. Oh, an attorney. That would explain it. Very, very good questions. I don't want to go before you. Don't ask me no questions. The anxieties are real that we confront. But I'm going to say this every single time I got an opportunity. We have an opportunity in this country. We have an opportunity. As challenging as the circumstances are, we have an opportunity for a different start, a better start, for a restart, for course correction. We do. Okay, so we're already in the mess, right? No sense you bury your head in the sand. No sense we pretend otherwise. We are already in it. You're here. It's here. The crisis is here. It is here, right now, staring us in the face. Right this very hour, everybody's talking about it. Everybody's thinking about it. This is no little bit of thing. We are in it right now. What are you going to do? Come out of it, man. Do your best to come out of it. Things happen. Listen, learn your lessons. Slap yourself. Pray. Heal yourself. Inform yourself. Educate yourself. Reform yourself. That's all you could do. That's all I could do. All the crap and nonsense and mistakes I've made in the course of 57 years of living. And from the mind, I can't be saddled. I can't be saddled with the memory or the guilt of that, the regret of, oh, you should have done it this way, you shouldn't have done that. What I can do now, I cannot get back into a second ago. A second ago, I can't get back into. You think I could get back into a minute ago, an hour ago, a year ago, 10 years ago? I don't know, I even didn't try it. So we have an opportunity. We are a beautiful people, man. We have flaws, we have issues, but we are beautiful people with a God-given opportunity. God-given. Prime Minister, you are there now. This is your hour. Ministers, you are there now. This is your hour. Commissioner, Commodore, you are there now. This is your hour. It's your hour. No one can act for you. Your hour. Answer the call of God and do what you need to do. It's a great and grand opportunity. Don't fall in on yourself. Don't draw a narrow circle around yourself. Kick them boundaries open and see the grand opportunity that awaits. It doesn't matter what anybody says or thinks about you. If you are satisfied before Almighty God, you have sought and seek to do the right things, to solve the problems, the issues, and to rest your head on your bed. But if not, you are failing yourself, you're failing us, you're failing the nation, and you're failing future generations. That's what happens. That's what I'm just saying. I'm just saying, listen, Mandy, I have the platform. I want to help. I'm only, that's all it is. You get mad with me, I understand. We have an opportunity. That's all I can say. You've been listening to Z Live and Shabbat Lang, your host. We'll be back. God's best life. Another day. Take care.